ready to go. Ready to go. Good morning, Thursday morning, the 20th day of June of 2024. Currently at our Bull Falls studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Overcast skies and 64 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. Glad you could be with us. You can catch us live here on the radio, 98.9 FM and 1230 AM. You can also catch us on our website. Go to bullfallsradio.com. And you can click on the link for Listen Live. You can tune in on the Civic Media app or Alexa by searching WXCO. And you can join us by going to our Facebook.com page and our X.com page to see a video stream and make comments there as well. So doggone it, you got all sorts of great choices to be able to join us. And we're glad that you are here on this Thursday morning. Boy, Thursdays are always, it feels like I get on the roller coaster, just hold on, because we always have such great guests and we have people coming in and joining us and giving great perspectives and giving us great information. Of course,
indeed,
we always start off with Pat Kreitlow here to begin the show. He sticks around after his show ends and spends a segment with us to start off the show. And then, of course, Brittany back. It was great to hear from her. Interesting. I did not know that she was studying to be a pilot. That is very cool stuff indeed, I tell you.
That's very cool. I know I can never be a pilot. I don't have a fear of heights. I just don't like to be up high for that long amount of time.
And I'm flying on Saturday, and I always get a little nervous. I just, you know, when you lift off and land, I'm always gripping the sides of the chair a little bit tighter than normal. And but I think it's really outstanding when you do things like that. It just adds to who you are. I think it's always great to expand your horizons, and I don't think anything expands your horizons any more than becoming a pilot like Brittany Merlot does. And then, of course, we had North Star Noah's. Always great to get the information from North Star Restoration, North Star Builds with Jay Cricks, John Garcia, and the rest of the crew at North Star. And again, as I said during the show, you have an opportunity to go back and get all sorts of great information about your home, about maintaining your home, and other terrific stuff every Thursday morning that's put on our podcast page. Go to bullfallsradio.com, go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows page. You'll see all the shows that we have on Civic Media. Just look for Chad Holmes Show. You'll see the logo. Click on that. And all the shows are right there. Every hour. We have single hours. We have 2 hours every day. We have put by a single hour, and you can always go back and find the North Star No segments on Thursdays, and it's always listed right in the title of the hour as well. But, you know, on Thursdays, we have all these guests that come in and keep things busy from the very start of the show until the very end of the first hour. Mm-hmm. And then at the start of hour number two, we get a chance to step back, take a deep breath, and say a proper hello to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
All right. You've been sitting patiently for an hour. What's on your mind today? Anything in particular? Are we getting close to the weekend? Anything exciting on your itinerary as we get to the official start of summer later this afternoon?
Well, there is quite a few events happening this weekend. The neighborhood garage sales will be happening this Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday. I'm not sure if they're doing Sunday as well, but, you know, just driving in to work this morning, going through the neighborhood, there are so many signs around my neighborhood. Just everybody's getting ready for the big community garage sales, and it's always a lot of cool stuff when you go to these sales. And not to mention, a big event happening this weekend is Chalk Fest.
Oh, Chalk Fest.
Very excited about that. My sister will be coming home from Madison because she competes in, well, not competes, she participates in Chalk Fest every year, and she always draws something amazing and very creative, and it's always something different every year, and she works very hard on it. And she showed my family a picture of what she's going to draw this year, and it's actually quite extravagant, so it'd be very cool to see that come to life, along with all the other amazing drawings at Chalkfest, because Chalkfest is one of my favorite events in Wausau, because it's just fun to walk around and see all the people hard at work, because there's people of all ages participating in Chalkfest. There's all sorts of different quality of picture, and there's all sorts of different varieties of pictures as well. I mean, you have people who do Disney, a lot of people do Marvel, and a lot of people just have their own, like, creativity do the work for them, and they draw, like, original masterpieces, and they're quite astounding. I mean, I know I have a few pictures of past works from previous years, and it's always something different every year. It's never the same thing, which is always a good thing. And with Chalkfest as well, I will actually be helping out with the Wausau Community Theater's food booth at Chalkfest as well. It's a nice way to, you know, provide food and drink for all the people of Chalkfest, and it's also a very important here, a great fundraiser for WCT. So very helpful.
And a lot of groups are able to take advantage of that as well. Yes. It's such a popular event in itself. And then all these groups that also have opportunities to be able to, raise funds and help really good stuff like the WCT that provides, again, artistic endeavors for our community. And the thing about Chalkfest is, in fact, it is sold out. I mean, there's going to be over 400 chalk drawings created, and they've already filled it up. Nobody else can, because they've got, you know, you have the certain amount of area that you put your drawings on, and here in downtown Wausau, and there's, you know, only so much room, and they've got everybody signed up already, so there's actually a waiting list. I mean, it's like Packers season tickets. They got a waiting list for Chalkfest, and again, it's one of those great summertime activities. You're right. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is something that really does energize the downtown area. It energizes a lot of folks with their creativity, and it again is a great opportunity for people to come together. Yeah, I see a lot of good folks walking around, checking things out, stopping, as you said, at your food stand. By the way, you guys show such talent. We saw your show just a couple of weeks ago. You also make food. Is it good food? Do you guys know what you're doing when it comes to the food and the beverages and everything else? Or
the way the menu is the same every year. I know that we do hot dogs and brats. We do hamburgers and cheeseburgers, and we have chips as well, and we have lots of bottles of water, a soda, a Gatorade, lots of good stuff, because it's going to be... And the one thing you can never know about Chalkfest is the weather, because the weather is always, you know, up in the air, but it has been sort of a tradition for Chalkfest for it to be hot and humid.
Also, got to need to remind folks, in addition to Chalkfest coming up this weekend, third annual Wings Over Wausau.
That's right. It's a big event.
Yeah, that gets underway on Friday, and maybe Brittany Merlot will be part of that pretty soon. Get up there. But the first air show is at 6 o'clock coming up on Friday, and basically, there's a Wings Over Wausau 5K coming up on Saturday as well, before the gates open for day two of the event at 11 a.m. There'll be kids inflatables, a petting zoo, a pilot meet and greet, plane displays, before two additional air shows on Saturday at 4 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. There'll also be drone and radio-controlled airplane demonstrations as well. Entry is $5 per person. Children 12 and under are admitted free. So, again, you got Chalkfest, you got Wings over Wausau. And again, don't forget as well, on Friday evening, I'll be over at Sunnyvale as, again, Extra Innings will be having their event, their celebration of life, going on Friday night and all day Saturday at Sunnyvale Softball Complex. And really good stuff. I mean, you're going to have a chance to get be part of an auction for terrific memorabilia. You got musical acts coming up with Rising Phoenix and Caleb Delaney. And you got just everything that a family can enjoy. I got a softball tournament. And then, of course, the big reason for the event is to raise funds to help folks in central Wisconsin that are battling cancer. And I think almost everybody has been touched by cancer one way or another. And to end the event on Saturday evening, there's going to be a remembrance ceremony where folks can put down names of family members or friends or people in their lives that have touched them who have lost the battle against cancer. And everybody's name will be read off. There's an opportunity to put pictures up. Just really an emotional ceremony to wrap up a terrific two-day event. So again, if you have an opportunity, I know there's a lot going on, but stop on by Sunnyvale Softball Complex, Extra Innings, a celebration of life, bringing together people of all ages to support those battling or affected by cancer. And again, all the proceeds will stay here in central Wisconsin. All proceeds go to the Marshfield Clinic Angel Fund, Aspirus Foundation, Earmarked for Cancer, and Joshua's Camp. As we heard from Ted Harkey earlier in the week, just a wonderful place, a children's cancer camp in Eau Claire. Really, if you have an opportunity to stop by during all the activities this weekend, come on over to Sunnyvale and see the music, have great food, great fun, and all for a great cause. The second annual Celebration of Life with Extra Innings, Friday night and Saturday at Sunnyvale Softball Complex.
Lots of amazing events this weekend to celebrate the kickoff of summer.
Exactly right. Well, coming up, 2024. Big year, a lot of elections going on, and one of the elections will be in the state senate, district number 12. Democratic candidate Andy Rich. We'll talk to her coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And also on our Facebook and X streams. You can see video streams of the program as well. Facebook.com and X.com. Go to the Bow Falls Radio page. And you can also give us a call or a text. If you have a question or a comment, you can call or text 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. If you have a question or a comment or something you'd like to know from our next guest, feel free to join us as well, because right now we are very happy to welcome to the program candidate for the Wisconsin State Senate District number 12, which is a big district in northeast Wisconsin, including part of Marathon County. We are joined by Andy Rich. And Andy, first of all, thank you for coming on the program.
Hi, Chad. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this opportunity.
Fantastic. And I said it. One thing about the state senate, there is, especially as you get towards the northern part of the state, there's a lot of ground to cover, isn't there?
Oh, my gosh. This district, I joke, I'm going to drive the wheels off my car.
Well, first of all, before we start talking about some of the different issues, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Number one, why are you getting involved in this? Why did you decide to throw your hat in the ring and become a candidate for office?
Well, I think it started maybe 8 years ago or so. I got involved in trying to protect our local waterways from a proposed mining project that was sure to devastate the local environment. And it was a real eye-opening experience for me because I kind of got to see how big of a role legislators can play in actually getting permits approved when the permits themselves don't pass the requirements safety to do so. And so starting with those battles and then finding out that we're the third largest PFAS site in the nation in my hometown here in Marinette, you know, you can only tell other people what you want them to do for you so many times before you realize that you need to step up and be willing to, you know, put your money where your mouth is and be willing to do it yourself.
That's what a very interesting topic, because often on this program here in Central Wisconsin, somebody that really is in the front lines of the fight for the environment, and you talk about mining issues is Nancy Stenzel, and I've had her on the program a number of times, and I hear about how basically folks like yourself have to be on basically alert all the time, because I will call, and that maybe it's unfair, but I'll call it, the big polluters are always looking for that opening. And I imagine that, boy, over the last number of years, you've been forced to really keep a close eye on people. They're trying to, you know, trying to add to their influence and add to their power, because if you or people like yourself aren't watching it, there's way too many within the state legislature that are willing to basically turn their eyes the other way.
You are not wrong. And I could tell you some stories, man. We've been through some shenanigans from the corporate polluters. But I think, you know, there are so many people that are dedicated to following this and really, truly care. You know, on the one side, it's really sad that individuals have to step up and do this really difficult work without the funding, right? Because we're not profiting off right. of these efforts. And so there's no money behind it. But also, it's such a wholesome experience, because I've met some of my best friends from these fights, you know, and you really find people with good character that are just doing it because it's the right thing. And so there's another aspect of it, you know, that's really gratifying. And I'm super grateful to have met a lot of these individuals, like Nancy. Actually, she was here with the coalition for many years. She did a great job. And yeah, it's good and bad mixed. And we just try to focus on the good.
Let's also talk a little bit more about your background. You mentioned that aspect of your background. Are you somebody that has been a Wisconsinite for your whole life? Have you lived and worked elsewhere in the country? Maybe a little thumbnail sketch on your background.
Yeah, it's a little bit of all those things. So I grew up in a real small town called Porterfield. And pretty much all we had when I was growing up was a taxidermy, a post office, a train tracks, and about a half mile out of the downtown, which I just described all of the businesses, was a small elementary school. Now all that's left is a taxidermy.
Oh, what's it like living and growing up in such a small town? Because it's interesting, because yesterday I had on as a guest somebody that grew up here in the Wausau area but now lives in Milwaukee, and I wanted a perspective on what it was like living in Milwaukee after, of course, the comments that were made by the former president last week, and we talked about what it's like to live there. And now to have you here is the complete opposite. What did you learn living and growing up in an area like that that has made you the person that you are today?
Well, you know, I was from that generation. I grew up in the 80s, and we, you know, for sheer necessity, both my parents worked, and we weren't allowed in the house for a lot of the time because they didn't want us to mess it up. So we were kicked outside, and it really, you develop this really a bond with nature, and, you know, it's a real wondrous place. And I'm going to say we were forced to go explore it, but really there was no place that we would rather be. So from coming home so dirty that we had to get hosed off before we could go inside to even take a bath, to, you know, swimming almost daily, we would do what needed to be done to get the bikes and the inner tubes up and float the river down. And I'm so grateful that I was raised the way that I was. And all of those experiences that I have as an adult, talking about them with other people, they trigger these fond memories of family vacations and, you know, little glimpses of those experiences. And I found that really it's quite powerful. And I think a lot of people have the same appreciation for Mother Nature. And so the older I get, the more grateful I am that I've been in the environment and had these experiences for such a big part of my upbringing.
You mentioned some of your work involving the environment. What else, in terms of your professional career, have you done in terms of maybe helping you be a good legislator?
Well, I came out of college around 2008, which was not a great time for looking for a job. So I kind of bounced around. I did some kayaking. I took tourist groups kayaking. I lived in South Carolina for a little bit, and that was in Hilton Head Island. It was absolutely beautiful. Then I got into car sales, and that was really fun. I actually really enjoyed it. And I moved back to Wisconsin and got another job selling some more cars. And then I found out that you could actually travel for work and go repair roofs after hailstorms. So I did that for a little while, and that was incredible. And when a hailstorm hit my hometown, or just outside my hometown here in Peshtigo, I actually started at my own roof repair company and sold roofs and siding and windows. And from there, that's when I started to get involved with the mining advocacy, trying to prevent it. And it was quite a trying and scary time. And I decided that my livelihood was at risk. And so they had been calling me, asking me to get some trainings on this license that I had applied for several years prior to be an insurance adjuster. So when I was going around and replacing roofs after hailstorms, I was meeting an insurance adjuster at every one of these properties. And so looking into that, they also traveled a lot. I got my license for that. And when the mining company, I felt was
Andy, we gotta take a quick time out because we have a hard break coming up, but we're gonna continue after we have a news update. So we'll be right back with Andy Rich, Senate candidate. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We are talking to State Senate District 12 Democratic candidate Andy Rich here on the program. And Andy, I'm sorry we kind of cut you off before you finished up your response to my question about, again, your background and the work you've done. Anything you wanted to add before we move on to the next topic?
Yeah, it was perfect timing. I was just getting to the relevant part. So after the roofing, I got into the insurance adjusting. And this is where, you know, the helpful part comes in for state legislation, because I, as an adjuster, was responsible for interpreting the very difficult to comprehend and read legalese of insurance policies. And when I started to read the bills that they were proposing for different water situations and the firefighting foam, et cetera, it seemed like I was able to grasp what the bill was actually going to do a little bit better than some of my friends. And so it led to some really good involved discussions and some better understandings. And especially when they present the bills and then try to bring them up to the floor almost immediately before you have a time to get through it, that really comes in handy to be able to review it and understand it without needing to get the experts to help.
Let's talk about the district. And right now, Mary Felskowski is the representative, the senator for district number 12. And so often in these races where, you know, it's an advantage to be an incumbent, because basically in a lot of cases, the folks are deciding whether or not to rehire the incumbent. And then, of course, if there are some issues with the incumbent, then the challengers are looked at in an even closer way. When you look at the performance of Senator Felskowski, what jumps out about her policies that made you say, hey, we cannot afford to have another term in office for the current senator?
Well, it's really simple, Chad, and this is my opinion, but it boils down to this. When I look at the legislation that this woman is pushing for our area, she's not representing Democrats, but she's also not representing Republicans. The bills that she is bringing forward are gifts to big corporations, and they don't help anybody here.
Any specifics in terms of those bills? Because obviously the bills that anyone brings up is an indication of who you're working for. Is there a specific bill that made you shake your head maybe even a little more than any of the others?
Absolutely. So recently she proposed and it passed Bill SB 312. And basically the governor had to veto it. And now they're holding up $125 million of money already approved in the budget for people to test water to make sure that poison isn't coming out of their taps. And she's holding that up basically because we didn't pass, or the governor vetoed SB 312, which she claimed to be protection for farmers, but it wasn't just protection for farmers. It was protection for all anybody identified as a corporate polluter. And she was using that term loosely to lump farmers into that group when really the DNR has no intent to go after, you know, an unknowing and unparticipating farmer. And so she's trying to say that, well, let's not hold any of these polluters accountable because we don't want to lump in a poor farmer, which, yes, of course, we don't want to harm the farmers who had no part in this. But we can't just say, well, let's have the taxpayers pick up the bill for everything when there's corporations that have made billions at our expense, knowingly poisoning us, who should be coming to the plate and putting some of that money up to help fix this problem.
That seems to be a pattern in recent years in Madison, where Republicans have basically put roadblocks in different areas because they feel that they know more than maybe those within departments in the state of Wisconsin, those that have studied and those who have become the top of their profession when it comes to trying to clean up the environment. When it comes to education, we've seen some similar shenanigans, I guess you'd call it, when it comes to funding for education with these roadblocks in order to, before the money gets to where it needs to go. And I wanted to ask generally about, you know, budget. We've had this budget surplus in the state of Wisconsin where it's still sitting there. A big chunk of it is still sitting there because it feels as though Republicans are trying to wait until they get a governor so they can pass another massive tax cut that goes disproportionately towards the most well-to-do in our state. When you look at the budget surplus, are there any specific areas that you would like to see that go in terms of either policy, you know, towards different areas of, you know, education and environment and those likes? Or do you have an idea that some should go as a tax cut? I guess I shouldn't answer for you. Where do you want that money to go towards?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. The problem is it's not that we have this budget surplus because we've been overtaxing everybody and everything's paid for and all the programs are caught up and taking care of people of the state. We have that surplus because when no perfect solution exists, the answer by our Republican-led legislature is to do nothing at all. And I think that we could be using those funds to bolster, you know, affordable childcare, to make sure that our schools are fully funded, to put towards the medical needs of communities, to keep some of these rural healthcare providers open where places are shuttering. You know, you hear these horrible stories of people having to drive hours for basic healthcare needs, and it's disheartening, and it's not the Northwoods that I grew up in. You know, it just feels somehow ignored.
Women's reproductive rights. That's another area that has been discussed over the last couple of years. And in fact, this week is, in fact, the second anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It's still an issue in the state of Wisconsin. It's gone in the right direction, at least more recently, after it was for the longest time where basically we were under an 1849 abortion ban. But in order for it to be truly fixed, it would have to be done through the state legislature. What are your thoughts on where we are and where we need to go?
I believe in protecting personal freedoms. The situations that they want to use as reasons to, you know, make choices for women and their families, you know, it most of them aren't based in reality. And the ones that are incredibly rare. And even then, you know, it's such a hard choice, right? Nobody's pro-abortion. It's pro-choice, because every abortion is a tragedy, and it's not something that's taken lightly. And usually it's not something that's wanted when they talk about these late term, right? It's almost always a health concern, or there's a problem, or it's not viable. And to say that the government should be making those decisions, I just don't understand how that's even an issue that Republicans are on the side that they're on, because they're always the ones that say we're pro-freedom and, you know, we don't want big government telling people what to do. So why would you go in and make a blanket statement of what you want to happen when there's all these microcosms and concerns and personal stories? And, you know, these are heavily weighed decisions that people should be making with their families and their doctors, not the government stepping in and telling people what to do.
Again, we're talking to Andy Rich, candidate on the Democratic side for the state Senate, District number 12. Again, it covers a huge portion of northeast Wisconsin, including parts of Marathon County, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. You mentioned education and education funding. And another aspect within the education discussions in recent years, led predominantly by the Speaker of the State Assembly, Robin Voss, is the idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I was having a discussion on this program earlier today, and basically another United States Senator, Ron Johnson, again brought that into a conversation on Capitol Hill this week. What are your thoughts on DEI and the continuing discussions that have really bubbled to the surface, I think in large part because of comments by those on the right when it comes to DEI and funding that has affected the University of Wisconsin system?
I feel like if you're really the party of freedom, why are you so concerned about what other people are doing in their own personal time? Let people be people. Lead with love, not with hate. These policies are driven from fear and anger. And I just don't understand why we would try to develop any policy around those ideals. It's such a more beautiful place when people just love each other and don't need to get into everyone else's business. If it's not hurting you, leave it alone.
That's actually a very interesting point in 2024, where we stand. And in a lot of ways, it's hard to believe that in 2024, we're still having a lot of these discussions, whether it's women's reproductive rights or whether or not, whether or not diversity is somehow a good thing or a bad thing, that we're having these discussions. As we look today and maybe looking forward, let's have a positive point of view that you get elected. Let's say you have a couple of terms to have a chance to change the way that things are working right now. As you look forward, what would be an ideal to try to look forward to maybe in 10 years time to change where we are right now? Because as you said, we do have a lot of fissures within our communities and within our politics right now, and it's not easy, and it's not something that one person can fix. But what is the road forward to try to bring more respect and love and personal freedoms to the people of Wisconsin?
Let's stop wasting our time talking about made-up issues. I mean, everybody by now, I'm sure, has heard that the whole cat litter debacle was completely fabricated. And how many weeks was that a story in the news? And all it did was promote fear and anger and, you know, disgust. And it wasn't even a real problem that was happening. It was completely made up. So my goal would be to focus on real issues. And I know that that can be dangerous word to use, but I mean, let's really focus on what we all need. You know, like we said, with the surplus in the budget, it's not because things are all caught up and done. There's so much that's just being ignored. We call it the do-nothing legislature in Wisconsin. We've dropped to 40 in economy. Let's focus on things that we can agree on and we can move forward, instead of using these divisive issues, mostly based in rhetoric, hatred, and lies, to argue that we should be doing nothing at all.
And I guess finally to kind of go circle back to where we started, and I said though right at the start that the 12th Senate District is a large piece of land in Northeast Wisconsin. When you do go around to these communities throughout the very large area, when you talk to the people, and as a Democrat talking in an area that, I mean, I actually, a couple of, well, about a month ago, I had to travel to that area for a couple of softball broadcasts, and I saw a lot of Trump signs in that area, to be honest with you. What are you hearing from the people? Is it an area that is putting their arms around the MAGA platform, or is there something underneath the surface that you're hearing right now?
Northeast Wisconsin is incredibly red, but when you have a real conversation with people, they are able to leave the R and the D at the door and talk policy. And we agree on so much more than we disagree. And I think it all comes back to, you know, who are you trying to represent? And where can you find the middle ground? And what's reasonable? And if you stick to that, you really can relate to these folks. The reason that most of these people started liking Trump and continue to like Trump is because he's not a typical bought and paid for politician. And as somebody who's coming into this with you know, no background other than going to Madison and listening to the corporate polluters argue their case of why they can't stop poisoning us, being simply that it's too expensive, I can relate to that disgust. And I get, you know, why they, you know, when he was first elected and I was trying to be positive, I said to myself, well, you know, at least he's not a typical corporate politician. I didn't realize at that time that he was just cutting out the middleman and he was going to be, you know, the corruption and the problem. But, you know, I could see what it was that they were glomming onto. But at the end of the day, I just remind myself, these are my neighbors that I've grown up with and lived with all along. These are real
on our side.
So do you want me to stay in here for a minute?
No, you can leave.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You bet. Bye bye.
The second annual Celebration of Life with Extra Innings takes place June 21st and 22nd at Sunnyvale Softball Complex in Wausau. Nicolet Bank and GI Associates of Wausau are both proud sponsors of this important event, helping local families right here in central Wisconsin affected by cancer. This event won't be possible without the generosity of local businesses and organizations willing to do the hard work for the right reasons. Saturday has a special children's cancer tribute game, and all children are welcome to play. There's still time to get your team entered and become part of this amazing event. For more details and sponsor info, go to extrainnings-wi.com or call Ted at 419-260-1073. There are numerous opportunities to sponsor or volunteer. Again, that's extrainnings-wi.com or call 419-260-1073. All funds raised stay local to help families right here in central Wisconsin.
Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Apologize, we hit a hard break, and we got cut off with Andy Rich, again, the State Senate Democratic candidate in District number 12. Apologize for that. We kind of lost sight of the time, and all of our breaks are hard breaks, so automatically the system just cuts us off right in the middle if we're not completed. So, again, apologize for that. She was just finishing up her final response to our question, but, again, we will have her back on as the campaign continues. We'll have other candidates on as we continue to march through 2024. Of course, next week, the first presidential debate already in late June. So it's going to be interesting times indeed for the next number of months. Today is the 20th day of June. Again, 20th day of June. That means it is the final hours of spring officially on the calendar, as later this afternoon, just about, I think a little bit before 4 o'clock, it will be the start officially of summer. Today is day number 172 of this year. That means there are 196 days remaining in 2024, and some famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1877, Alexander Graham Bell installed the first commercial telephone service in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. In 1963, on this date, the so-called Red Telephone was established between the United States and the Soviet Union following the Cuban Missile Crisis. In 1967, on June the 20th, boxer Muhammad Ali was convicted in Houston of violating selective service laws by refusing to be drafted. The Supreme Court later overturned the conviction, but during that time, between 1967 and 1970, Muhammad Ali was stripped of his heavyweight championship and was unable to fight. So many of the prime years of Muhammad Ali's boxing career were wasted in that fight against selective service laws. On this date in 1975, I think what would be called the first summer blockbuster movie, Jaws, with its tagline, "Don't go in the water," the Steven Spielberg-directed thriller Jaws opened in theaters on June the 20th of 1975 and became a massive, massive summer hit. On this date in 1994, O.J. Simpson pleaded not guilty to the slayings of his ex-wife Nicole Brown and waiter Ronald Goldman. On this date in 2013, Instagram first offered users the ability to upload videos to their service. And on this date in 2017, Tiger Woods checked into a clinic to manage his pain medication and sleep disorder following his arrest for driving under the influence. Those are some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. Some famous people that are celebrating their birthdays today. James Tolkien, who played Mr. Strickland in the Back to the Future films, is 93. Brian Wilson, legendary member of the Beach Boys, is 82 years old today. Mr. Fix-It, Bob Vila. Everybody knows Bob Vila. He's 78 today. Lionel Richie had a wonderful musical career with the Commodores and also is a solo artist and then has been a judge on American Idol. Lionel Richie, 75 years old today. John Goodman, star of Roseanne and the Connors, 72 years old today. Nicole Kidman is 57. Josh Lucas of Sweet Home Alabama, A Beautiful Mind as well, is 53. And Dreama Walker from Gossip Girl and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is 38. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio. Special events today, the first day of summer. And in fact, I was wrong. In fact, it starts in about an hour at 10:54. So 58 minutes to go of spring. It is Cuckoo Warning Day, International Surfing Day, Dump the Pump Day. I don't know what that means. Seashell Day, American Eagle Day, Vanilla Milkshake Day, Ice Cream Soda Day, Plain Yogurt Day, World Productivity Day, and World Refugee Day.
Nice.
All right. Time for our number for the day.
All right.
Again, Ian's already, what, you're 2 for 3, right?
Yes, I am.
2 for 3. He's already got a successful week, but now we're going to try to set some records by getting it right today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Our number for the day, the percentage of guns recovered in New York City crime scenes that are linked to initial sales outside of the state. So the percentage of guns recovered in New York City crime scenes that are linked to initial sales outside of the state of New York.
Okay.
Is it 73%? Is it 83%? Is it 93%? So those are the choices. 73%, 83%, 93%. The percentage of guns recovered in New York City crime scenes that are linked to initial sales outside the state of New York.
Well, it's kind of a hard question, but I'm going to take a shot at it. I'm going to say B. I'm going to say 83%. I know it's a high number, but that's my final answer.
All right. The percentage of guns recovered in New York City crime scenes that are linked to initial sales outside of the state of New York. You're right. It was a high number, but it was 93%.
Ooh.
So you were right in your thoughts, but not quite right in the execution. But now it means tomorrow I'm going to see if you can get a winning record for the week.
Yes, absolutely.
So that will be our big finish tomorrow. But hopefully you'll be back with us tomorrow morning. We'll be joined by Mike Clemens and Paul Miklik. Thanks again today for Pat Kreitlow joining us. For Jay Cricks of North Star Restoration with North Star Knows, and Andy Rich, State Senate District 12 candidate. Matt and Air on Air coming up. Have a great rest of your day, Ian.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Take care.
And we'll see you tomorrow here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.